There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey guys, this is the Phoenix edition of Stacking Pennies. We're going to break down my day. Unfortunate ending as Joey Logano ended up in my lap on a restart. But we fought and we scrapped and we got to a decent place. Unfortunately, ended our day. But that 20 car, Christopher Bell takes the dub. We're going to break down all things Phoenix right here on Stacking Pennies.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nonsense Garage here. We're about to stack some pennies. I'm Corey LaJoy, driver of the highly damaged number 7 on the way back from Phoenix Motor Speedway, Phoenix Raceway, rather, joined by my best buddy, Ryan Flores, front tire changer of Ryan Blaney's top 5 finishing and points leading number 12 Mustang. How's it going?
You really boned us this morning with the sim session.
I know. Yeah. There's nothing, dude. West Coast flights knock a year off your life every time.
I thought that last night. Like, bro, I fell asleep and like I did everything I do. Like, I have like a nightly routine where I take like magnesium and I like got on the plane, took it, and I passed out for like an hour and I was up because the flights back are 6 hours.
Yeah.
Because you stop in Tulsa and it's just not very fast. And it's just like,
what time did you land?
Second two.
Yeah.
And I got, by the time I got in bed, it was 3:30. But I like looked at the, looked out the window and I'm like, golly, this is long.
I mean, first world problems, right? We're not flying commercial. We're on charter jets. But after a freaking long, hard day of work, after an absolute impact of the 3,600 pound race car sitting on my lap, I'm a bit partly foggy after a couple hours of sleep. Levi Ronnie turned 4 today, so
yeah, it's
big man's birthday today. He was jumping on my head at about 7:45, and then it's just business as usual. But then they went and threw a simulator session for Bristol at me at noon today, so that had to bump everything up.
Hey, that's
so
good,
recording
though.
A bit earlier than usual. Not a great day for us. Obviously, the outcome wasn't great. We were okay. Little recap of our weekend. We were okay in practice, really tight, like concerning tight. So we changed 3 springs, some sway bar, dynamic wedge, aero platform after practice.
Wholesale, if you will.
It was everything but the kitchen sink. We changed a lot. And went to qualify, had a little too much rear brake in it, bounce was a lot looser, and about backed it in the fence into 3. So we started pretty much last. And then we chipped away. We got to like 25th pretty quick. Got behind Joey. And it doesn't matter if Joey's running first or 24th. He will drive you, mirror block you, and aero block you like it's the last lap of the championship race.
Well, I think he'll definitely do that to you because like he doesn't race you every week.
Yeah.
I think the guys that he like races around every week, he probably
races them just as hard.
No, I think he probably cuts some slack. And, like, when you're running in the top 10, right, you can come and go. But when you're racing back there, like, you got to stay ahead of everybody you can. Because it came down to you two for the lucky dog later in the race, didn't it?
It did. And then the 41, there was 2 runs where it came down to Joey and I. There was 1 run where him and I both got lapped, and then he lapped Priest right before the end of the second stage. I think we were like 21st, 2nd, 3rd, somewhere in there.
You guys are racing your ass off for Lucky Dog. Then they lap one more car the last lap, and it's all for nothing.
Uh-huh. Oh,
you're
dude.
Like, damn
it. You're sliding it around. You're like freaking just digging, trying to like pack air on each other. And then you're watching a 3 or 4 car lengths up, and the guy gets past, and you're like, damn it.
You come over, TJ, did we get it? No, actually, they got the 41 at the
line.
You
don't even have to ask. You just watch him, and it's just so demoralizing. It's like, you're like, come on, baby, hang on. Hey, damn it.
You're ready to buy a Ryan Priest shirt.
So then, start the 3rd segment. It's the 22. There's like, I don't know, 9 or 10 of us a lap down. And we get the lucky dog. I know we have a video clip for that, but let's just back up. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because we have a ton of clips because just like every week, all the crashes were right off out of my windshield.
Before we get there, let me ask you a question. to like at the start of what you said. Practice was Friday.
Yeah.
Then you qualify Saturday. So there's a big gap
from
the last time you're in the car to your qualifying run.
Yeah.
How much more difficult is that now with, okay, so you get 20 minutes right before qualifying.
Yeah.
So you kind of know your lift marks. You know what the threshold of the tire is. Yeah. So how much does that mess you up? Like,
it's hard.
Do you contribute that to?
No, with the different springs and different aero balance, I didn't anticipate it being that loose. So it's a combination of the car reacting a bit different than I expected. I had a little bit more rear brake in it than probably what I should have qualified. And it doesn't take much to slip when you're really asking the most you can on entry out of these tires.
And when you qualify in the back with the squirrels,
you get your nuts broke.
And that's what happened to Austin Cindric. You were right in the thick of that.
So, yeah, this is right in the beginning. We actually were making a little bit of progress here. This is lap 7, past couple cars and just fighting. Off of turn 4, Derek Kraus, welcome to the Cup Series, spun out by himself. And then it ended the Tuesday, right? Because he hit the left rear bumper with his left front. I don't know if it's been a tie rod.
It was broken when he came by us on pit road.
It was broken.
So here,
the vantage point that we have, or as a fan has on the NASCAR app, is from the right side. So mind you, whenever you see these in-car cameras, the driver a lot of the times can't see the same vantage point.
Yeah.
But in this instance, especially through 1 and 2 of Phoenix, there are so many cars to your left that you can't see them off your A-post. So when he gets spun out, generally you can see some smoke and you can see somebody get out of shape. But here with the way it was all covered, I saw nothing. And then luckily the seas kind of parted and I made our way through. Because that could have been a really quick and frustrating end of our day. Did the 3 hit him as well?
Yeah, the 3. Well, that was one of those things. We were pitted on the backstretch, and they were like, caution. And I looked up, and Timmy was like, big wreck. And I just started watching all the cars coming down that were wrecked, and I'm like, damn, Corey was like running around all those guys. Like, where's he at?
Yeah.
Saw the 2 come by. I was like, damn it. But when I go back and watch that clip, the thing that you pointed out earlier and that I'm most impressed with is what Brian Priest did. Like, that is old school short track. Like, he not only gave himself, he stopped, knew that he slewed down, like, and was going to miss it, but he gave the guys behind him a lane.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
Yeah.
So that was, I mean, that was some high level
stuff. Yeah, because if he closes that lane, I'm coming without, I can't even see those guys spinning out. I came in there with a head of steam.
He's wrecked and you're wrecked.
Yes.
He gave himself an option to the left and, and an option in front of him. So that was...
Appreciate that, Ryan Priest. Thank you for saving both of us.
He's definitely been in some big wrecks at Stafford Motor Speedway.
Been in some big wrecks in general.
But yeah, that was, I mean, I was happy you didn't get collected in that, but it did. I mean, that's the three cars just wishing that.
Well, they had no problems in qualifying and qualified right in front of me. The 8 and the 3. Tough weekend for the Richard Childress Racing group. But then there was just an entire metaphor of the 3 seasons so far going on this Morgan and Morgan Camaro. With this fella just smashing the hood flap. What's he hitting there?
I guess he's hitting where
the head of the freaking sledgehammer falls off.
From what I understand,
that's
people
brutal.
Have just been having, the head of the sledgehammer fell off?
Yeah, right here. Yeah, pow.
Oh. Oh.
Dude, that guy's hand, too. Goodness. That's full trust in
Is that Covey? That's the jack, man.
Dude.
There's not much to hit there. There's just an aluminum hinge.
Yeah.
So you're just trying, if the hinge gets bent, you're just trying to beat it back down, but it's all kind of like, it's all
like
carbon, so you're not really
going
to do much.
He's doing more damage than good here. The 3, unfortunately, had to ride around wounded the rest of the day. That's like cruel and unusual punishment.
That's
for
one of those
driver.
Things where you're like, hey, take that and go hit the radiator so we can go get on the plane.
Yeah, literally just.
Let's get out of here.
Just call it a day, Cole, and hang it up. Because anymore, nobody crashes and nobody really falls out. So, if you're wounded, you're going to finish second to last.
He would, like, everybody would go by, and then he would just come by. Boom.
But that's so brutal.
You put yourself in so much risk. Like, I have put myself in unwarranted risk to fix a wrecked race car to go out and gain a spot. I remember, like, the worst one I've ever got was I got flash burn with the 22 Xfinity car.
Welding
one time.
Something?
Yeah, Greg Irwin was like, put a welding helmet on. I'm like, I got it. And I woke up. We fixed the car.
There's nothing worse.
No, we fixed it. We were at Kentucky or Chicago, and we thrashed. I welded, like,
the
we were like welding
it.
The front clip on it. We go back out, and we blew a left rear like five laps later and then destroyed it. So I got flash burn, completely put myself in ton of risk for nothing.
I will say the DVP clock was one of the best things NASCAR ever.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Hang on,
explain to the listeners what flash burn is right quick though.
It's when you weld without a helmet, your eyes get sunburnt.
Yes.
And
it feels like somebody just dumped sand in them.
But it doesn't come until the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So like you wake up in the middle of the night and it's like somebody dumped sand in your eyes. You're like, oh.
Oh, dude, it's the worst.
Yeah, it's bad. But
you know what else is bad is whenever your water bottle after a pit stop hits the radio button, you can't hear your team. That's what happened to me.
Happened to you?
Yeah. So there's two radios. I usually leave the second one off. So I'll turn the one on that's closest to me. Then there's like the toggle switch radio 1 and 2, which in our car is on the door pad or pretty much right next to the...
Oh, you got okay. Instead of switching it on you just switch. Okay.
Yeah. So it's got the toggle. But if I went to go toggle to radio 2, I'd have to go turn the second radio on just to save the battery or something.
Okay.
If the race went long or whatever. So when they hand a bottle in, my interior guy just kind of like throws me the bottle and like I fumble with it, try to get it off the floor, then pick it up. And I think when I moved it, I hit the radio toggle and it toggled it to an off radio. So I was just cruising under caution. And normally like Ryan's pretty chatty and I'm just like looking around at the grandstands. I'm like, this is kind of peaceful. But I'm like, why is nobody talking to me? So I'm like, yo, yeah, hello, hello. And it's just nothing. So I'm like, oh, shoot. So let's key up the audio.
How's your front end, buddy? How's your front end, shoot?
So this is Ryan Sparks talking to you.
Yep.
Anybody hear me? I heard you play today.
That's TJ Bell Spotter.
10-4. Talk to me if you can. If you can hear me, wave at me when you get into 3 here. Radio, check the switch inside there.
He said whenever he said that, I stuck my hand out anyways because I was just like trying to cool off a little bit.
Yep,
but meanwhile, I was...
All right. Four tires, hit your sign. 41 will be around you here. Focus.
Meanwhile, I was messing with the radios, turning the second one on.
Ears or what?
I don't know what happened. Maybe the bottle flipped the radio.
So we got it figured out.
10-4.
So do you switch your drink bottle to the right side now?
No, we just need to move that toggle switch a little bit. So that was right when we were racing Joey for the dog. Right at the beginning of the third stage, and we beat him by like a nose. So it's him and I. There's, you know, 4 or 5 guys behind us.
So was it off then, or did it happen under caution?
Happened under caution.
Okay, so it was only off for a brief period of time under caution.
Yeah.
Okay, you would have noticed if it was off before then.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
Especially when it's 8 wide through 1 and 2, you need all the help you can get from the roof. But so... We dug and fought and scrapped, and we stayed on the lead lap pretty much all the way up until the end of stage 2. We went one down, and so we were digging on a restart, start the third stage. Some guys took a wave, so we needed a yellow, but we also needed to get the dog because you want to start the third stage in a good spot. I think we had that clip too. Let's run that thing. So it got running about the middle, which is actually the bottom lane on restarts just because everybody's everybody's just spread out so much. And I had a big runoff too, and legitimately probably was a foot ahead of the 22.
When the A car spun out?
Yeah, when the A car spun out. Dude, not a good day for Kyle Busch.
It's not been a good start to the season for the 8, and it's been...
Wasn't he the points leader, like, after Atlanta?
I don't know.
But he's not
anymore. Super speedways can give you false hope pretty quick.
That's true.
But, like, when I look at the 8, it's obviously... Like Randall will write the ship, right?
For
the
sure.
Chevys are a little bit behind the 8 ball with the Fords and the Toyotas.
They led 298 of 312
at Phoenix.
Yeah,
I mean the Chevys won last week, but yeah. It's quite apparent that the Toyotas.
I saw a tweet. Shout out Kelly Crandall that Toyota swept the weekend at Phoenix ARCA Xfinity Cup and the NHRA race, and there was one other one too.
Pretty good weekend.
SeaWorld 500.
Oh, the old splash zone.
The old splash zone. They swept the weekend. Really covered it up.
Turns out, orcas are aerodynamic. Who would have known?
A lot of downforce in those fellas.
Who would have known?
So I get the dog. Everybody's pumped up. Yes. We got our car driving better. We got a little bit of track position.
Back in the game,
We're
baby.
Back in the hunt, baby. Watch out. We're going to drive to the lead. I thought we could have been, you know, 14th to 18th with the way the end of the race played out. But until we got John Hunter.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So, I don't really know where he was going.
Hey, I'm a big John Hunter fan. I don't know what was going on here.
Well, I think somebody needed to remind him there's a corner at the end of that straightaway.
Cow.
Oh, my goodness. So, it hurts. It hurts more watching it. No, it hurt. It hurt pretty bad yesterday. That was one of the bigger ones I've had.
So, for the listeners that are watching, right, you are...
Our listeners that are listening
and then watching the film.
Yeah, pow, pow.
Or for anybody that watches the race, right? When you haven't driven a race car, like you alluded to earlier, you can't see much. And the TV and the in-car cameras kind of give you a false sense of what you can see.
For sure.
Then you add on a restart where everybody's four or five lanes wide. So if you commit to the top, you are solely just trying to roll as much momentum as you can, and you're focused on
getting back
to the gas.
Yeah.
So the last thing you're thinking about is somebody coming from the bottom of the track.
Backwards.
So that's like a when.
Yeah.
Was it just a complete surprise or what was it?
Well, first off, let me encourage everybody to go watch Stag and Pennies on YouTube because they do a great job of putting these B-rolls of in-car cameras and we talk it over. But if you're listening to either on Sirius XM or audio platforms, just go on your spare time and check out the YouTube because it's pretty cool. So when the in-car cameras, whether you're watching it on the NASCAR app, are high, much higher, call it 6 inches higher, and to the right, way more. So you have a shot kind of around the A-post. Your vantage point as a driver is way lower, barely above the dash, just for low CG, and you can hardly see with the window net. And with the A-post, you only really can see a little bit to the left and then a little mostly to the right.
And the visor port in your helmet is smaller.
It's narrow.
Yes.
So it's not like you're in this auditorium like, oh my gosh, look what everything was going on.
You'd be closer to a racehorse with blinders on.
Sure. And that's what it looked like the 42 had, blinders on, everything else, right into the back of the 22. So
you're just piling it on, John.
I don't know what he was doing. I really don't know.
Going to the front, obviously.
Yeah, like Daniel Suarez told me a couple of years ago, where are you going, amigo? I'm going to the front. Problem is there's about 14 cars in front of you. Let's play the in-car camera, the 22. You hear him grab fifth, lift, 1-1,000, 2-1,000. Oh, I'm going backwards. Yeah, pow, 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 pow. I can't tell you how much that hurt.
That was late.
I talked to Joey, too, when we both got released from the infield care center. Look at him. Grabs fifth. Okay, let's still fight for the dog here. Lift.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a bit. Ooh.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Well, you could tell, like, it was like a slow slide, and he was just hanging on. And then once he got hit, it was, real wreck.
So, my in-car camera, like you said, I'm rolling the top here. And I'm like, okay, I got a decent restart. I'm trying to get, I just got the dog back on the lead lap, ready to hunt to the front. Trying to pass all these guys that are lapped down, Kyle Busch in front of me, and then just. Next thing I know, he was in my lap. I couldn't see, you know, with this in-car camera, you can kind of see him get turned. All I saw is the 16 car off my left front A post and the 4. And next thing I know, it's right there. And about this moment here, I'm just going,
knock the wind out of you?
Oh, yeah. Man, my neck's hurt. My neck's sore. Low back. Feel like I was in a car accident, man.
Weird enough. Yeah, and that's the other thing. You're gauging off the 16, so you're not looking ahead, right? You're racing him.
Yeah, you're trying to get to his right rear.
Yeah, so you're like, okay, you're looking at him, and then,
You also don't anticipate somebody going backwards into your lap. Unfortunately, that broke our streak of 44 straight finishes, which is a stat that I'm proud of.
Yeah, that's a big stat.
We got to hit the reset button on that counter. The last DNF was a fall Talladega, 2022. So that was a good little stretch for us. Shout out to my team building reliable cars at last, not having any mechanical issues, and we've been racing pretty smart. But unfortunately, the last 2 weeks, this was a DNF, but last week might as well have been a DNF with where we were running relative to where we finished. You know, we had a productive comp meeting after last week. I do feel like overall we have a lot of speed, a lot of things to look forward to with our team this year, and we're bringing some fast cars. I think we can be we qualified in the top 10 here at Bristol last year, going there with the intention of qualifying well again and just having a solid day to try to rebound. So
seems like the 77 has more pace. You get the 71 in there, so it's only going to higher tides will raise all ships.
That's it. Just try to raise our baseline, just keep bringing faster cars to the racetrack.
Well, more people pulling the rope, you'll inevitably get there quicker.
That's right. Because it's been a one-person tug-of-war for a while now. So we got some good guys that I'm excited about. But right now, Monday afternoon, after a big old wreck, still a little frustrated.
Yeah. But yeah,
I learned real early in my career that, you know, you can harbor it and you can, you know, sulk for a little while and you can feel bad for yourself. But for me, when I leave it behind is when the old bird touches the tarmac in Statesville. As soon as it touched down, it's like, okay, we'll start preparing for Bristol.
Fail fast. Forward. We had a good day. We were just, man, it was weird. The race cycled. It was Phoenix, right? Like,
we'll get into that in a minute.
But we were, it's kind of been the story of our season so far. We had good long run speed. We didn't really fire off real well.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. It's usually, I have no idea, but it's either.
Was he tight, loose, just?
He just, slippy. Nah, he never really complained about one thing or the other. Like, and when he would just say, you know, I'm still loose, but I lost turn. Mm-hmm. Or like, it was kind of never one definitive
Phoenix
thing.
Phoenix is a fickle.
It's a, yeah. Yeah. Which is okay. So, 12th day was good. Finished 5th.
Good job.
Blue collar day. Points leaders. Forward. Nothing flashy. But I thought about this. I was listening to the Teardown last night on the way home from the airport. And we talked to the airport to a couple people that were bitching about the race. And it's like, yeah, it's Phoenix. Right, like that's.
Have we ever watched a barn burner at Phoenix?
Right, one time when the 19 was passing the 4, but I equate it to this. Our whole team stayed up and we watched the UFC fight on Saturday night. Now, Dustin Poirier, that fight was pretty exciting. Headlocks, a knockout.
Yeah.
They were scrapping, mm-hmm. Right? And then you go to the next main event, which was the guy with the rainbow hair, Sean O'Malley.
Yeah.
And that fight, what they
Patty
stood
to
up,
Batty.
They stood up for no, different
I like
guy.
That guy's name.
Different guy, Patty to Betty. They're all Dollar General Conor McGregor's, but whatever. I digress, as you would say. It's an interesting fight, but different. It's not sexy,
yeah.
Right? They stood up for 5 rounds. They never went to the ground. They punched each other, but when you look at the scorecards, right? He landed twice as many punches. His percentage was higher, and he won unanimously. Now, to the eye test, it wasn't great. But if you get to understand how he won and how he opened up the angles and how he beat the guy, right, that is what Phoenix is. It's a technical race. You have to work on your race car. You got to get it working better than everybody else. You have to figure out where to be on the racetrack.
Yep.
That's what it is. It's not a sexy three-wide finish at the line.
Yeah.
But it is hard to win. You have to have a complete day. And I just am over.
I like that take.
I am over the every time we get done with Phoenix, we got to change the package. We got to do that. Like, you're not going to.
Dude, I heard package way too many times this weekend.
I hate it. And the racing, like, we drove from 15th to 6th or 7th in the first stage just driving by guys. Got to them.
Yeah.
Like, when you would get to them, you could drive by them. Now, they could actively aero block you. But
But you
could
had
set
options.
Them up and you could pass them.
No, you had
which
options.
Which is what you want. You want to be able to work on your car, get it better, and drive past people, which is like the 20 car they got themselves behind. They drove back to the field. They didn't finish. I don't even think they finished in the stage points in the first stage.
Yeah.
So.
Which is quick synopsis of how we landed on that tire and this downforce package. Because there was five of us out there in December doing the test. Everybody wants to talk about, well, we need tires to fall off. We need softer tires. Everybody's a tire expert until you actually need to actually figure out what tire you need to put on there. So we put all different. We did the current Phoenix tire. We did the new, which is the tire we did. We raced this time with a thicker gauge, same rubber compound. So it creates a little heat quicker and lays down a little more rubber, and the track gets wider. We put the super softs, if you will, on there. And it locked the cars down. So you would think that a softer tire would degrade and then you would be having to slip and slide. Wrong. A softer tire just makes the car grip more, doesn't slide around, so it doesn't initiate the tire wear that everybody wants to see. It literally just makes the car drive better with no tire fall off, and you just go faster. So we tried that. We tried the old diffuser. We tried the up-down diffuser or the up-down splitter. We tried them all. And it was a unanimous, which is rare to get five drivers to agree on a downforce package and a tire. It was unanimous that this was the best tire to make the track wide, to give you options, and the simple diffuser allowed the car to get more sideways. I don't know, though, now that all the cars are optimized, now there's more cars on the racetrack, if the simple diffuser makes the wake dirtier than the previous diffuser. That was my only question.
It seemed like you could set up passes and pass. You wouldn't get aero block behind somebody as bad. You could still do it, but from the backstretch where I couldn't see a damn thing,
yeah,
that's what it seemed like just listening to our race car.
I'd agree with that. Always going to be an issue there.
Here's what I like. I like seeing Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch spin out.
Yeah.
Two of the best that have ever done it.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, spin out, dude. Like, let me see you drive. I like seeing guys wreck.
So all that I knew that they let, I watched like a couple minutes in the infield care center. I got out, did some media with Joey, and they were going around in circles. And Denny was racing for the lead, and there was a hell of a race between the 45, the 19, and the 11. Next thing I know, the place went absolutely nuts. And then the 11 car didn't come rolling by under caution. I was like, oh, Denny must have wrecked. So yes, to your point, when two of the best that have ever done it, in history are busting their ass, I like that.
Yeah.
Cause the cars aren't easy to drive.
Nope.
So, hey, I don't know. Is it how the broadcast is telling the story? Are we concentrating on the wrong things? Are the fans going in there with the wrong idea of what a good race should be? I don't know.
I don't know. Or is everybody just really quick to hit the package button? Like, hey.
Oh, my God. There's no package button. The only thing that I think a lot of us would like is a little more horsepower.
It's not going to help a damn thing there.
The only way
to make that race better is to give you guys 300 horsepower and keep you in a pack. That's what everybody wants. If you want an Atlanta race, give you 300 horsepower.
Yeah.
And make it like an ACT late model race at New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Because then you'll get tight, and like that's the only way to keep you together.
Yeah.
If you want 900 horsepower, it's going to get even more spread out. So like,
yeah,
that it's just like a, it's,
yeah,
it's a,
I agree,
Twitter hot topic. How can we batch NASCAR and make myself sound smart? We need more horsepower. Like, dude, the way to tighten the field up.
It's take power.
If you want a tight field, make them drive better
and give them less power.
It's like going to GoPro Motorplex. If we go there with faster carts, or we go to Pollard's with slow carts and a slick track and no motor, you're going to be tighter.
Well, if you go there, we'll keep going down this path, and then we'll get back on the trail. If you go to GoPro Motorplex, Trackhouse Motorplex rather, with 10 of your buddies, with go karts that feel like they have 3 horsepower and drive fairly decent, you 10 will have the most fun race that you will ever have in your life. Off the road, nerfing each other into each other, not going very fast. If your same 10 buddies are on shifter carts with 150 horsepower, you aren't even worried about your buddy. You're just trying to stay on the road.
Yeah, but the shifter cart's way harder to drive.
Yes.
So
you're not going to race side by side, push your buddy down the backstretch at 95 miles an hour.
Yeah, so like if you, and when you lose momentum, in a car with less horsepower, you pay more of a price, right? Yeah. You lose 10 spots.
Yeah.
When you lose momentum with 900 horsepower, you kind of gather it up and you throttle up and drive away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and act like I know the answer, right? Truly, the answer is the racetrack isn't a place where you're going to have Atlanta, Talladega finishes. It's the true. Racetrack is a place where you have to work on your car.
Got
to
have downforce.
Get it to turn.
Yeah.
Figure out during the race, the driver has to give good feedback to the crew to make his car better, to be able to turn, to make it maneuverable, and keep up with the racetrack.
Yep.
That is a part of the sport that has been here forever. It's a very important part of the sport that shows the strength of your team. And, like, it's a race
it's hard to win.
That is a different style of race. And for, like, me as a race team guy, I look forward to Phoenix because I know, like, okay, you have to have a complete day to win Phoenix. You have to have good pit stops. You have to work on your car. The driver has to drive well, have good restarts, because if you lose track position on a restart, it's hard, you know.
You don't get it back.
It's going to take long to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to give good feedback to make their car better during the race. So, like, it's a complete day to me. Unfortunately, we're in a society that just wants, like,
instant gratification.
You're not going to get it.
I want a photo finish every week. Every week, give me one.
Yeah.
But we didn't get that. We got, like, actually the opposite of that.
The same people that love F1 racing, like, yo, don't at me, bro.
That's right. You want a photo finish on Sunday watching a NASCAR race, and you love a 25-second gap for the win.
Yeah.
But, hey, it's not a bad thing, talking about F1 margins of victory, that ours is, like, I don't know, only 20% of that. 5.468 seconds margin of victory this week by Christopher Bell. It's the largest of the next-gen car. We've been running this thing three years now, so only having one race on occasion that's spread out as much as it was, especially a full green flag run at the end, 75, 78 laps. Who Chris Bell now owns the top two largest margin of victories in the next-gen car. That's a fast-driving fella. That 20 car was strong. I could have told you that at the test. He was far and away the best car at the test.
I saw a stat this week that had, like, when they win, how many laps have they led? And Martin Truex was, like, at the way top of that heap. So
I think his Coke 600 back when he won, led every single lap probably helps his average out by it.
But that tells me that when Toyota's on, they're on. Right,
and yeah, they were on the next level for sure. What else we got?
They were also, hey, this is a great segue. They were also on it on pit road. So let's go hear about them dogs.
Let's go hear about them dogs and them woes. Right up next.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, guys, we're back with some pit road boats and woes. I got something. I got a woe.
What happened?
I was just thumbing back through the race last night, and Jamie Little's on pit road. And there was a close-up shot. Have you ever had, I know you've had, like, some postcards for your TQ midget, but have you ever had a pit road postcard?
No. And I'm not getting one.
I got a postcard.
Oh, geez.
I need you to sign it for the backdrop. That is a whoa, baby.
You can tell I've been doing squats.
Good thing those aren't the new MLB baseball pants, because you'd be winking at us.
I haven't seen them. Want me to sign that for you?
Yeah, sign it. Right. It's going to be part of the backdrop.
I feel bad. I saw them there. I got you here.
Gordon. Sign it right down Main Street. Did you feel it? Did you feel the pressure?
No, so, okay. First and foremost, Jamie Little's an absolute pro.
Yes, for sure.
So, like, and she tries to kind of champion pick her guys, which I really appreciate.
Was she doing a piece on, like, a front tire changer's glutes?
No. So they come, during the race, the pit reporters, depending on what segment they are on pit road, they kind of highlight, yes, that is my butt. Unintentional.
That is a
I was honestly trying to
talk about a tugboat.
I was trying to because right they there. Were set up. They were set up with the camera where like all my stuff is set up. So I was trying to stay out of the way. So I wasn't even up there, and I didn't know if they were done yet. Then they called before the race. They do a deal where, you check pit road speed. Mm. They started doing it during COVID, and what we'll do is the jump line everywhere we go is different. And our hood most weeks is different. This week we were Advanced Auto Parts.
Mm.
So we get up on the hood, we all talk, we get up on the wall, and as the car comes down pit road, you gauge, that's where you're going to jump. We all jump together, kind of look at the pit box, make sure everything is. So for me, it's an important part of the race. Like, identify your car, identify your jump line, we all jump together. So I stayed away from...
Do you hand-in-hand jump? Like, yay, off the
together.
Wall?
Together! No.
Together!
So... that's where I like make sure all my stuff works.
Oh my God. Hang on. Not to interrupt you. I about absolutely killed Ludwig this weekend. He slipped coming off the wall. Ludwig was my jack man. And he went to go push off and his back foot fell. He was underneath my sight line, like crawling, saving Private Ryan.
I've seen that happen.
If he didn't, he must have missed the right front fender by 3 inches.
I've seen people fall in front of the car and get punted.
Bro. He freaking recovered like a champ. I might try to pull the. I don't have the. I just remembered that.
We need your help. Do you have an in car? We need to get that in car.
Oh, we absolutely do. Higgy, pull the tape. I turned in the box and I saw him go down. I'm like, oh no, get up.
That's the worst possible scenario.
Oh, because you're committed.
Well, you can't. You either got to pick the mayonnaise or the mustard. If you end up in the middle,
mustard. He went for it. I got to give him that. So anyways.
Especially there because it's pit road speed's fast and it's slick. So you're whistling into the pit box. So yeah, you are in trouble.
Oh, that was I'll give him a dog shout out. He about got smushed.
So I get up on the wall and I kind of try to stay out of Jamie's way. I didn't realize they were zooming in on my ass. But there you go. That's sure. Where that tweet came from.
I like that. Start the broadcast off right.
Hey, let them know.
Let them know where we're at. Several woes.
Several woes. Yeah, I heard the 5 team had a woe. I think we have a clip here of...
Cliff getting down to the bottom of it.
So that's Jesse Saunders.
Is that car chief?
Yep, Jesse Saunders, the car chief. Legend there.
Yeah.
Behind him, motor tuner.
Yep.
They're looking at the lug nuts. So what can happen here, and the way he's kind of... Look at Cliff. You've gotten that talk.
Yeah.
Are you telling me the lug nut is no good, or is the lug nut good?
Are the threads good on the upright, or are they not?
Is this going to be a problem that we have to deal with all race, or are we over it? You've gotten that talk. Are you going to be able to fix this, or no?
Can you make the throw from third base to first base? If not, we'll fix it.
I'll get somebody that can.
Yes, Cliff.
So the way that, so I don't really have any insight sitting here, literally Monday morning, tire changing. But from what Jesse Saunders was doing, the way he was holding the nut and kind of turning it, that tells me that it got cross-threaded somehow. So what can happen, and we saw a lot of issues yesterday, and we'll get into them as we keep going, of like lug nuts running up slow. I don't know if it's the brake dust, what it is at Phoenix, but it tends to happen here. I had one late in the race. It was a different scenario. But with the one lug nut, the way that...
How much time did he lose?
I don't know. He wasn't really running up front all day, so like when that stuff like that happens and you're running in the backside of the top 10 or outside of the top 10, it really doesn't get highlighted much.
Yeah.
And we weren't really racing against him, but you know, like when stuff happens like happens to the 43 and you're running in the top 5 or the 20 car you're leading, it gets highlighted. But what happens with one lug nut is the threads where they catch each other. So you come back in and where the thread on the nut catches the thread on the the upright, the spindle, what can happen is if they don't hit each other perfect, it can roll that thread over. Almost like if you've ever cross-threaded a bolt, right? It can roll that thread over, and then what it doesn't want to do is it doesn't want to take it, or it wants the kind of make it crunchy all the way down. I've also seen it where it just cross threads and stops. It happened to me at when Kyle Larson hit the barrels at Homestead and we were racing them. That's the only time I've ever had it happen at the racetrack. It completely cross threaded where I had to stop, reverse, put it back on. What's crazy is it happens, and it's like, if anybody's ever been a mechanic before, when you cross thread a bolt, it gets junk. You throw the nut and bolt out. With these, it's like you can pull it off and it'll fix itself. It's like, whoa, okay.
So is that what happened to the 20? Fixed itself?
20 was a rim. That was a rim thing. But when what they did, what it looked like, you have on your pit box now two and a half years into doing this, you've got kind of built the tool. So you have like a thread chasing nut. So if your thread does get turned over, the leading thread where they catch, where the nut and the spindle catch, they can, it starts to roll over. So it doesn't want to catch the nut. And
so will you carry that nut on your chest?
No, you keep it in your pit box. The one you carry on your chest is just a spare in case the one flies out of your socket. So you can go get your chaser nut and kind of clean that up. You're going to give up all your track position and all your time.
Yeah.
The quick thing to do, if you really had an issue, you can just change nuts out, and that might help it. But you kind of just got to know your situation and give up the 2 or 3 tenths.
Yeah.
And know that you just got to stay on it to keep it tight. Unless you have a bad cross there, then you might have to change something. It looks like that's what they kind of took the hit and fixed it. But that is all just tenths of a second, because from the time you roll back in and touch that, like, the quicker you can just hit it and leave. As we saw with the 20 car, Hicks had to stay there and stay on it. They went from first to 10th.
Yikes.
Right? The 43, same thing. They came in like fourth. They went out backside of the top 10.
And then they get wrecked.
Like that, you're one instance away from that. I did see that that after the 20 had a rough stop, they just interviewed Hicks right on TV.
I don't remember them doing that.
I like it. I don't think the pit coaches are going to like it.
Hey, man, you just messed up, man. How was it?
What did he say? I think we even have it.
Slow stop for Christopher Bell and the 20 team. Michael Where's Hicks his sunglasses? The rear changer. We watched it back. Hard to tell exactly where it went wrong. What happened?
So the wheel didn't make it over the drive pins, and it was kind of stuck. So I had to stay on the lug nut just to ensure and watch that the back of the wheel made it to the back plate. So just that's what, you know, sometimes you gotta stay there longer to make sure the wheel's tight, and that's what I had to do.
Well, I appreciate your time, Mike. We celebrate when they do good, and we appreciate when they talk when something goes sideways and they have a slow stop, too.
Oh, absolutely. And that took
How many races do you think Hicks won?
Michael Hicks?
Over
50.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Hicks has been...
He's an OG dog.
He's been one of the best tire changers on pit road for damn near 20 years. I think he's from Rowan County, if you can't tell by the accent. He's married to...
Salisbury.
Married to Jordan Wood, so he was on the Wood Brothers car. He's an absolute stud. He's been one of the best. His daughter Giselle now races, but we helped them out with powder coat on their race car. But that's
wasn't all pink.
It was all pink. Talked him into going all black. But dude, he's a racer to the core, and I say all that stuff. He was a mechanic before he was a picker guy, and that's what helps in that situation right there.
Yeah.
Right, because he understands what is tight. And what is not, and what is acceptable.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times to be able to make that call to tighten it on the ground, because if it's on the ground, like Darrell comes back, sees the front's done, and kind of leaves Hicks there.
Yeah.
And Hicks stays, realizes there's a problem. That's where, in a world of athletes, that's where having mechanical knowledge really helps out. Now, what he talked about.
Because if he sends that thing loose, his day's done.
Day is over. Yep. You're not going to victory lane.
Yeah.
Now, you can come back from losing 10 spots when you have a car that good.
Yeah.
So him to stay there, that's a veteran move. Now, what he was talking about with the drive pins, what happened in that particular stop, it happened to me this past week as well. When you throw the wheel on, you used to be able to line it up with the holes when you had 5 lug nuts and the studs. Now you can't line it up. There's pins. There's 16 or 20 holes on the back of the wheel and 6 drive pins. But you can't line up where you're going to hit them.
Yeah.
So sometimes when you throw the wheel on, it hits the point on the
drive pin
hits perfectly in between the hole.
Yeah.
And it leaves a big dent. And what that does is it mushrooms out. And then once you turn the wheel on, the drive pin holes in the wheel are pretty tight on the drive pin itself.
Yeah.
So it doesn't want to slide on. So you have to force it on with the gun and run it up until it's flat. And the only way to know when it's actually tight is by feel. Because at that point, when you use your helmet camera, like the socket's stopping. So you, if you slow it down, like you could fool yourself into thinking it's tight, but you have to have the feel in your wrist that it's actually tight. So for him to stay there and be disciplined and get it tight, I know it like we talked about earlier, wasn't a sexy stop. They lost a lot of positions, but it kept them in the race and ultimately won them the race, because it's anybody can go and, you know, have a great day and no drama, but it's the ones that fight through it and address the problems. You're going to have problems when you're running 9-second stops. You're going to have issues like that. But like Michael Hicks, the reason why he's one of the best on pit road and he's been doing it for so long is because he fixes problems like that. And ultimately his car ends up going to victory lane. I've seen 3 out of the 4 Gibbs cars have problems on the right rear with either nuts running up or I think the 54 had a wedge wrench fall off. It was under green. The wedge wrench fell off his helmet, and it fell like right to where the nut was, so they couldn't get to it.
Really?
So that slowed them down. But the one team that didn't have any problems out of the Gibbs camp was in that number one pit stall.
Mm.
And they're them dogs this week.
Yeah. So they had a fast day and the number one box. It's hard to even compete with that at Phoenix.
The 11 team has completely separated themselves from the rest of the field.
Really?
They sit on their handy dandy.
Quick time.
Oh, yeah. On the average. Now, they just missed their fast time for the year on pit stop.
They set their fast time one fast stop last week.
Now, they were second on average last week. This week, they average a 9 flat. That is faster than any pit stop I've done this year at the racetrack. So they are hauling the mail. You can tell that they've put the work in over the offseason. A.J. Rosini, front changer. He's got a really cool story. He was an IndyCar guy.
Okay.
He was actually with us at Penske.
Hmm.
IndyCar guy that Gibbs got. Dylan Dow, one of my favorites. Bunyan.
Sure.
I don't know. He's French, man. You would have to figure out how to say his name. Is like
I don't even know how to say my own last name. I just American.
It's like on New Heights when they tried to pronounce your name. Corey Lajoie.
Lajoie. French F NASCAR driver.
Lajoie.
French
Bunyan. Yeah.
Okay.
And then Devin York, a rear changer.
Dog.
And them guys.
They're flying right now.
Hauling. Kenneth Purcell got enough fuel in it too. So good to them. Good on them. When I look at them, what's making them stand out above everybody else is what we call exchanges. So from when the time you pull your tire, you take the old tire off, put a new tire on, that's an exchange. And they have the cleanest, fastest exchanges in the sport. Mm. And when you watch them, if you go back and watch their tape, they are just, like we talked about earlier, taking the lug nut and tapping the spindle, pop, and it's tight right away. So there's a lot of speed there. And them guys, for the second week in a row, them dogs.
Dogs of the week. Keeping the 11 in the hunt each and every week. That 11 team's strong.
Yeah.
Continues to be strong.
Yeah, and when you give them the first pit box at Phoenix, a lot of room to work.
You're always going to find your way back to the front.
That's it.
And that's where you earned it. You get the qualifier on the pole, you get the best spot. I don't know if there should be – I feel like they should make that length of from the timing line to the first box generic. I get smaller tracks and this and that and intermediates and radius of the pit road, but at least it should be somewhat similar. Darlington.
I'm with you. Yeah, Higgy made that.
If it's 30 feet, it's 30 feet.
Our boy Higgy made that point when we came in here. It's – Phoenix is the most advantageous first pit box in racing. There is an argument to be made there that there should be a, whether it be like a pit stall length or a certain length from the end of pit stall one line to the end of the timing line. Some places it's closer, so it's really advantageous to be in pit stall one. I think in Vegas we saw last year where the 20 car had picked pit stall one, and it was pretty slick to get outside the pit box. So if you watch, like Cliff Daniels will always pick like pit stall 6 there because the launch is better.
Where, at Vegas?
Yeah. It's the first box that's not pit stall 1 with an opening. So I think it's 6. But there's some tracks where I remember being in Atlanta and it being a deficit when we do the Xfinity car because they would actually, during the Xfinity race, they would take pit stall 1 out and you'd actually be pit stall 2. So being in pit stall one was actually a deficit because you wouldn't be close to the line. You wouldn't get the launch. But, yeah, I think that there should be a standardized that would help be a standardized length, like you said, because Phoenix, dude, it's so advantageous.
But you earn it.
You earn it. Yep.
You earn that right.
You make your luck. So those are our thoughts on pit road.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Let's hear the fans' thoughts, because we got some pennies for your thoughts. Also, keep firing these away, whether it's on X, hashtag penny for your thoughts, or, ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching on YouTube, fire it in the comments. Penny for your thoughts. I have a question, and we might answer it. Question number one, what do you got?
Question number one. Heard you on the scanner about something about 1 o'clock on the wheel. What does that mean?
So when you come down, we have that scanner, so play it.
Reminder, 4 tires. The wheel will be at 1 o'clock on the right, straight up on the left.
That's pretty much straightforward. You have the little line on top of your wheel to kind of know where you're at. You just put that little tick mark at 1 o'clock. That helps for what he was talking about, the exchange. It makes that right front come out of that hole a little bit easier for just wherever the right front location is, fore and aft. Sometimes it bumps out. Sometimes it bumps in. So when they jack the car up, sometimes when you turn the wheels to the right, it lets the right front fall out a little bit easier.
So when you see in-car cameras, you'll see a couple of different tape marks on everybody's wheels. That's something like I started noticing because I do that every week because that's my measurement. Of like how far are people's tape marks? You kind of start telling like, okay, what are they doing with bump? What are they doing with toe? So that's just another small part of the game. Question number two. Oh, this one might be for me. Do all rear changers duck under the gas man during a stop? That is a situational play, as you call it. We used to call that.
Is that when you're taking two cans?
Or if you need all of a one can. What we used to call that in the Xfinity days, the 22 Xfinity car, was the Rochambeau.
Yeah.
It's
the annexation of Puerto Rico.
We call it Rochambeau. Some guys do it. Some fuelers like it. Like, the problem with the Schultz head is if you come disengaged, it'll start putting fuel in that vent tube, then it automatically slows the fuel down.
Mm.
So, like, we don't do that play. With the way that our choreography works, it's usually faster just to do an exchange. But some guys, if you,
When you say exchange, grab a full can and plug it back in.
Yeah, just get rid of the first can, get a second can,
yeah,
and do that. I used to see it a lot more back when the gas man could pull tires, because like he would stay plugged in. Say he had to be plugged in for 6 seconds, they would stay plugged in. The rear changer would go underneath him, then he'd unplug and pull the left rear with the can
back,
in it. That was like
good old days.
That was some thug stuff right there, holding the can, pulling the left rear. That is illegal now.
Can't do it.
Yeah, it is a play where, instead of, if it's like a full run, 19 gallons, or you need, whatever you need, a lot of changers will get up and they'll take like a stutter step and let your gas man disengage, because it's going to take time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of taking that stutter step, some smaller guys can just go underneath.
And then some guys just like to do it.
Yeah.
Just go under the bridge, man.
That's it, I guess.
That's all the penny for thoughts questions we have this week. We got a couple penny stackers. First off, he doesn't listen to the podcast because he doesn't have a phone, but it's Levi Ronnie's 4th birthday today. He is a penny stacker, an all-time when he's over there cutting laps in the shop at the moment in a little electric go-kart that I just got him. Having a blast. There's also a fellow that you were talking to that gave us both U.S. Border Patrol passes, or like patches.
Yeah.
What was that fellow's name?
Sean.
Sean. What's up, Sean?
Sean. Shout out to Sean. He hung out. He gave us the patches. Then he's on the Border Patrol, which I was like, Tell me about that.
It's definitely a different job than what we have. And I remember being down like testing in Yuma and seeing like the Border Patrol blimps fly by. So we talked about that for a while and just kind of what his job entails. I know it's a really hot topic right now. So we just talked through a lot of different things, and he's a big race fan, and I don't know where I'm at in my career. Like, if people come to the racetrack and they like racing and I have a chance to enhance their experience, especially cool guys like that. Like, he brought him to the trailer. He checked out the trailer, and then he ended up sitting on the pit box later in the day.
Nice.
So it was cool to get to know him, and big fan of the show. He had Signs 7 hat on.
Yeah.
So.
Shout out Sean, Penny Stacker of the Week. Also got to meet, remember Brock Osweiler, quarterback for the Texans. He got a massive deal and then just kind of like left football.
Okay.
Met him.
What do you have to say?
I don't know. Just hanging out with his dad.
Say, hey, man, how's all that money?
I'm sure it's pretty good. he stacked a lot of pennies. So that's cool. I tried to talk him into coming out for kickball.
Is he going to do it?
Maybe. He's a tall fella. He's like 6'5", 6'6".
Think you'll pay him, then he won't show up?
I don't think I need to pay him. I think he's doing just fine. Okay. That was pretty cool. You know what else was pretty cool? Do we get an ARCA race, or we want to talk about grandma gears?
I don't know. The ARCA, I tried to watch some of the ARCA race. Did it get cut short?
It was a hell of a thunderstorm.
Mm.
Big one.
And then the Xfinity race. Oh, Allgaier. Dang it.
Oh, my goodness. Big lick.
Dang it. And then the 81 kind of got into the 20. Spun him out of the backstretch. Yeah. Big wreck.
It's always interesting. Comp meeting when two teammates wreck each other for the win.
I don't know. John Hunter could have been mad until the next day when he got the 22. Yeah. So, like, he doesn't have a leg to stand on anymore.
No, he doesn't. Can't be mad anymore.
We got an ARCA clip teed up, so let's watch it.
Let's see it.
Great corner. My Lord, that's pretty. Yeah, you're running the ball down now. 20 to all 30s and 40s in front of us. Fastest car on the track. Beat everyone by at least a tenth in front of you.
Oh, that definitely sounds
it's unreal.
Like really
I wish we had one less caution there, or the race went about 15 laps longer. Car's definitely way better on the long runs, and we saw that in the first half. Was able to run up to the end of third place and was running down second there for a while. So had a really good car. Can't thank Minarini Mobile One Toyota enough. My Toyota Camry was really fast, and I think that I have a lot that I need to kind of go back and watch and learn from this. I think restarts and kind of learning how the air works is going to be the main things I need to go and research before we go back for the next race.
There you go.
Isabella
Robusto. Yeah. P6 finish in her, I believe that was her ARCA West debut. So that's a big deal.
Yeah.
She might be the next one.
Come back after injury. She was out for a while. She got her bell rung at Hickory. She was out for, I understand, I don't know this. I heard that, and you might know this being a Sikh guy, I heard that it takes females longer to recover from concussion stuff. So she was out from April of last year or something, like a long time.
Really?
Yeah. And
I didn't know
that. Toyota's kind of hitched their wagon to her, and she's been doing very good. So pulling for her to do well.
Pulling for her. William Sawalsh taking the dub on a weather-shortened event out there. Gibbs swept the weekend.
Yep.
ARCA, Xfinity, and Cup. They know how to make a car go fast in a triangle around Phoenix.
Yeah, I mean, I would say they got, I won't call it lucky, but the 7 car had everybody's number until that left rear.
Man, that was brutal. Hate that for Justin Allgaier. He had him covered.
Yeah.
You'll have that big time auto racing.
I bet that really ground his gears.
Oh, my goodness. Did you see? I'm not laughing at him. I'm laughing with him. Is when he took the Declan, and it was just like and
smashed
threw the Declan back on the car.
I didn't see it.
Like, it was just like in his way when he was walking to the ambulance, and he like must have kicked it or something, and just looked down and was like picked it up and just tossed it back on the car. Like, damn it.
Justin Allgaier, one of the absolute nicest people in the sport, 1,000%.
For sure.
To see him get frustrated, that stinks, but. Yeah,
he was like going away. Six laps to go.
Dude.
Left rear down.
Whap.
That sucked.
Well, and there's nothing like hitting driver's side, too, to really piss you off.
Yeah,
that'll really
ground your gears down to nothing.
What grinds your gears?
Just crashing. I haven't crashed in a while. I hadn't really crashed in like that big in a while. That really grinds my gears because it freaking hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it hurts. Neck sore. Pride's sore. But on to Bristol, man.
That's it.
What grinds your gears?
I'm pretty good this week. Talking about kids, right?
Let's talk about them.
I got a stomach bug on Friday from my kid.
Mm.
So she was like acting kind of quiet all day. Her brother wakes up with an ear infection Friday morning. And then she comes to me when he's in the doctor and we're running errands. We're at Northern Tool and she just pukes
the
welding aisle. I was like, oh no.
Oh.
She's like total big daddy, like talking, bleh. I was like, uh-oh. And there was like a guy who works in Northern Tool and I'm like, you get any towels or anything? So then I'm like,
yeah, aisle 7, buy a pack.
It's like orange slices that she puked up on the grill. So like he brings me all this stuff and he's like, yeah, man, I got kids. I get it. And then I was pretty, I must have like, it must have been like a 12-hour bug. So I started feeling run down and it was Friday. And I text my pickup, like, hey, I don't have, like, I'm not going to miss the race, but I'm, like, you might want to tell people to stay away from me on the plane.
Mm.
So I felt like I was still pretty dehydrated yesterday.
Throw up?
I didn't, but I felt like I needed to all day. But being sick really grinds my gears. But it's part of having kids, man. You're just going to be sick all the time.
You're
so you
never
just
not
it.
Sick.
That's it.
No, you're never not sick. Builds the immune system. Just like your eardrums when you listen to the show. Hopefully it builds up some immune system. Yep. I don't know.
And your knowledge of the sport.
And your knowledge of the sport, because we keep coming back each and every week. Make sure you follow us for the Arctic Ice Cold Trivia each and every week on @_stackandpennies. People seem to be loving that. We're getting a lot of engagements on those posts. So don't miss that @_stackandpennies for some Arctic Ice Cold Trivia. Also, like, download, share, rate, review, or just keep listening to us on SiriusXM, whether it's on the SXM app or wherever you find your podcast. We'll be right here each and every week, Stacking Pennies, and we're going this week to the last great Coliseum. On concrete, glad it's not dirt. It's going to be a hell of a race. The 7 teams going to rebound, and we're going to be having a solid week.
I feel like it's one of your better tracks, man. I'm pumped to see what you can do.
It is. Yeah, we qualified in the top 10. Led some laps, finished second in the stage last year, and then I spun out and busted my ass, and then we rode around with him the rest of the day. So that sucked. So I'm going to make sure not to do that.
I'm still mad at Nelson Piquet over that East race there that time.
Man, it was 12 years ago, man. Give it up.
No.
Yeah, forgive him.
You should be mad, too.
I've moved on.
Whatever.
I'm fine.
You're soft, man. All this cup money's made you soft.
No. It's almost half of my life ago.
You got Corey was running an arc race there. I felt like we had a shot to win, and Nelson Piquet got into you, and I was
down
there.
The backstretch. You gave me the door, and it popped the
valve stem off. Yeah, because I was on the left front I was there helping. We didn't have to change tires, but you came down and I changed the tire. And when you stopped, the valve stem when it popped off stayed in the wheel, and when you stopped, it fell out.
Mm.
Like it just rattled around.
Was demoralizing.
Yeah,
I thought we could have won there. But we have a shot this weekend. I don't know. I feel good about it. Like I feel a little bit more good about it than I usually do.
Intermediate package, so not the short track package.
Yep.
And yeah.
Keep on keeping on, man.
Pulling for you.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate you guys for coming in here and stacking pennies with us. Have a great week. Goodbye.